Praise the Lord. I'll start the video. I got to lower this always. Let me lower this real low. Okay. Praise the Lord. There we go. There we go. Let's see. I'll put the study up and then we'll blow the trumpet. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom. Trumpet always sounds good in this echoing room here. And I'm happy to be here today on the Sabbath. And it's just wonderful that there is a Sabbath, that we could stop everything and join God and try to help people and try to assist everything. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, I pray you forgive us for any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll bless this Sabbath in Yeshua's name. Bring people to us, Lord and God. We'll take care of them the right way. Help us, Father God, with everything we do. Lord and God, I pray today you'll touch and heal our sister Louise and anyone that's sick in the body of Messiah, whether they know it or not. We know that there could be people that are sick that don't even know it yet. Bless and anoint this day. Lord and God, we trust you with our souls and our lives. We lean upon you and we call upon you. And I pray, Lord and God, that you'll be with us today. And I just thank God for the Shabbat and for every one of you, brothers and sisters around the world, wherever you may be. And God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom.
Well, we are one Messiah congregation, Kahal Chavei Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And today is March 12th, 2016. That is March 12th. No, today's not March 12th. Wait a second. Hold on a second. Hold everything. Okay. Let me hold it. Here it is. Today's not March 12th. Today is March 19th. I was wondering. I didn't feel a week younger. But anyway, it's March 19, 2016. You guys know what March is all about, right? It's the Roman god there of war, right? Which is very terrible. However, we're in the second Adar, and we're in the ninth day. And it's amazing. Tomorrow is March 20th, the first day of spring, even though it feels like chilly out here today, you know? It's just amazing. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life. They've been deleted from your knowledge. You haven't even a clue. They're missing. I'll undelete them for you. Praise the Lord. For your convenience, all my studies are online. The website's working very nicely. If you missed me in the last 15 years, you could read them, hear them, watch them, download them, put them on your MP3 players. You could also watch me today live streaming. Let me wave at everybody who's watching. And you can come in the Pow Talk room also and just listen. We're on Pow Talk. Or you can also schedule me in to come in person. If you'd like me to come and teach about the Hebrew Jewish roots from the scriptures of your faith, I'd like to do that. If you know any groups or any congregations or any people or anyone. Today's topic I wanted to go over, and I thought more people were going to be here at the moment because I figured they need to hear it. It's a review of the Sabbath and Spring Feast. And to understand and do the feasts and Sabbaths properly, you need to have knowledge of Scripture. And that's where I guess everyone goes wrong, because most people that we meet, like even today, we met people that they don't read the Scripture, and they misinterpret things, and You know, it's got to be, I guess they need assistance. Anyway, here's a short list I put together of things that we need to do if you're going to do everything properly. You need an understanding of when Jehovah starts his day. That's important. You need an understanding of the new moon and when it's coming. You need an understanding of the calendar of Jehovah. You need an understanding of the Sabbath. You need an understanding from Scripture, not websites, of how to do the feasts and Sabbaths. And you need an understanding of who should attend the feasts, because we don't just let anyone come. So first I want to talk about, let's understand the new moon, because I know there's a big discrepancy in the internet and on different websites, but Yerech and Chodesh, the first new moon and the first sun, God made two great lights. They're called lights, okay? Now, something seen with the eyes is a sign. It's for seasons, for days and years. That's what he said. So in Genesis, Bereshit, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It says, the fourth day was the first evening and morning with the two great lights. Just think of that. Before that, there was no great lights. And they are known as two great lights, even though one's greater and one's lesser. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And he says, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So we're talking about light all constantly with these two great lights God made. And it says, verse 16, God made two great lights. So they're both great. Shnei ha-ma'orot ha-gedolim. The greater light, ha-ma'or ha-gedol, to rule the day. So that the great light is going to rule the day. That's known as our sun. And the lesser light, ha-ma'or ha-katan, that's going to rule the night. So you see, you have to see something to recognize there's a moon or a new moon. And it's all about light. It's not about darkness. And then he made the stars also, hakochavim. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Leha'ir al ha'eretz. And to rule over the day and over the night. And that's what we're focused on, something that rules over the day and over the night, not something that's blackened out. I know Judaism does the new moon when it's a blacked out moon, and so do some other people, but then there would be no light. There's nothing to see. That's why we look for that little sliver. That's what I'm talking about. There has to be some type of light to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And that little sliver definitely divides the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Yom HaRevi'i. And in Psalms, David says he appointed the moon for seasons. There it is right there. And the lesser light, or the moon, which is still a great light to us, of course, even though it's called the lesser light, even a sliver of the moon is light to divide the light from the darkness and to give light upon the earth. No moon is exactly no moon, no light, darkness. So that wouldn't be a new moon. Does everybody understand that? It's all about light.
Yes.
It's not about darkness. And then, of course, in the book of Esther, we see that the first month is called Nisan, right there. And then, of course, we go to Exodus 12, verse 2, and we see God has his new year in the first month. And he says, HaChodesh hazeh lechem rosh chodeshim, roshon hu lechem lechadashay hashana. And there's the real rosh hashana right there. And that's, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year to you. So God has a new year, which we're going to experience, you know, which is very important. Not the seventh month, which is made up with the made-up name Tishrei, as Judaism states, and some messianics. Okay? Notice how, again, it always goes back to you have to know the scriptures. In the book of Exodus 13:4, we find out the name of this month is called also Ha'aviv, because it's the day that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Ha'aviv actually means the newness of the barley, and it's known as spring today, right? And we wait for that barley to be ripe, or at least something that we could recognize. They didn't see it this year. That's why we have two Adars, and that's in Israel. We don't worry about barleys in other parts of the country. I know there's like five or six kinds of barleys, but we focus on the barley in Israel. Anyway, we get, again, we always focus on the scripture, which is real important. And we go to Leviticus 23. It says, Vayedaber Yehovah el Moshe Leboa. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of Yehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts, he says. Which, I don't know how all the years reading the Bible, I never really seen that until, you know, 15 years ago. These are God's feasts, Moadai, my feasts, Moadai, my appointed times. Mm-hmm. Jehovah explains the Sabbath too, right after that. He goes, 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation. You should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. Moshvotechem, that's in all your dwellings. That's plural. And these are the feasts of Yehovah, even holy convocations. That says, Ele Moadei Yehovah, Mikra Kodesh, Asher Tikra'u Otam B'Moadam. So these are the feasts of Yehovah. They're Mikra Kodesh, they're sacred assemblies, public meetings. You know, you don't do them by yourself. You're supposed to join your congregation that you're with and hope that, you know, as long as they're keeping the commandments, that is, and participate. So that's what that's all about. And then we're going to move all the way to the 14th day of the first month at even. Notice it's at even. So it's all, just about the end of the 14th day is Jehovah's Passover, Pesach la Yehovah. Okay? It's Jehovah's Passover. And on the 15th day, which is right after that, because remember, God starts his days in the evening. Right after the Passover, right there, I'm going like that because I'm seeing the clock. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's called a feast unto Yehovah. And 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. And I got to be honest with you, I'd like to eat it more than just those days because I really like it. And the first day you shall have a holy convocation. So, Lord willing, we'll be right here. You shall do no servile work therein. And that servile work is a melechet avodah. That means no public or domestic work. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yehovah 7 days, which we don't do that any longer. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You should do no servile work therein also. So there's two extra Sabbaths right there, you know. And Yehovah spoke unto Moses saying, speak unto the children of Israel. And you have to recognize today that you're part of the children of Israel. You're part of children of Jacob, you know. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land, which I shall give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits. There it is. So first fruits of the barley is right in the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first fruits of your harvest unto the priests. And ye shall wave the sheaf before Yehovah to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. What's the morrow after the Sabbath? first day, known as Sunday, right? So first fruits, the resurrection is always on Sunday. Pretty symbolic of Yeshua's resurrection. You shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yehovah. And the meat offering thereof shall be a 2 tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yehovah for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ear, there it is, the green ear, until the same day that you have brought an offering unto your God. So that's important. It shall be a statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It's a statute forever. Isn't that interesting? You know, some of these little these offerings right here, even though we're not Levite priests or there's no Levitical priesthood, I guess, I don't know if we don't ever do any of these, this portion of it. And we definitely do this. We're going to count from, it says, count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, which is known as today, Sunday. We're going to count from the day that we brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. And tomorrow after the 7th Sabbath would number 50 days, you shall number 50 days. And ye shall offer a meat offering unto Yehovah. Isn't that interesting? That's known as what?
Sunday.
No, it's known as the Feast of Weeks.
Yeah, it's a Sunday.
And that's a Sunday also, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which is on Sunday also, 50. And that's the wheat harvest, right? And there it is right there. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Jehovah of the wheat harvest. There they are. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto Jehovah, with the meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yehovah. Isn't that interesting? They had to do so much more than we do today. You know, now we're taking on the spiritual application of what took place here physically. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yehovah. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy unto Yehovah for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it's a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no Melechet Avodah, no physical, no domestic or, any kind of work in any manner therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings. So wherever you dwell, throughout your generations, for every generation. And when you reaped the harvest of your land, then you shall not make clean riddance of the corners of the field. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest, but thou shalt leave it unto the poor and to the stranger. I am Jehovah, your God. So God cares about everyone. Isn't that nice? So Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread explained in Torah. Now, we do the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread today in memorial, with the understanding that Yeshua is our Passover. The first fruits is symbolic of the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead. Everyone should know that, right? Everyone knows that here in our congregation. The reason why I'm doing this study, and you might think it's redundant or whatever you're thinking, but I'm doing this for other people that might listen to the websites and listen to the studies, the ones that don't know. So we're going to read Exodus 13. It says, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Jehovah brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. No leavened bread. That's really important. This day came you out in the month of Ha'aviv. Right? Exodus 12 gives the whole breakdown of the Passover, which I wanted people to hear today, but I guess they'll have to get online. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. I read that again. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It's the real Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor come next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, and shall make your count for the lamb. That's really good right there. So I guess we'll next month, I guess we'll be having our lamb. We'll get our lamb. And of course, we'll have to know how many people are coming here so we can have the right amount. Seems like we never have any leftovers, especially if Brother Zach comes. I'm only kidding. That was a joke. And we're going to... Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. So wherever this lamb goes, if it goes in the goats or if it goes in the sheep, we're going to go grab it. Basically, we're going to end up going to the store and get some because we don't raise any animals, right? And you shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. Remember, again, we're doing this in memorial. We're not actually doing the actual Passover. Everybody knows that, right? We're not fleeing from Egypt. Pharaoh's not chasing us. We're not eating the Passover in haste. We're not, you know, none of this stuff. We're doing it in memorial, again, with the understanding that Yeshua is our Passover. That's what people got to remember. That's why we don't do a lot of the sacrifices, and there's no Levitical priesthood, and there's no Levites, and there's no none of that. We're doing the spiritual understanding with the understanding of Yeshua. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That must have been unbelievable. Imagine everyone killing their lamb. That's a lot of people. And they shall take of the blood and sprinkle it on the two side posts, that's the mezuzot, and on the upper door post of the house, when they shall eat it. So it'll be like, you know, like sprinkling it there. It says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire, which we're going to do, and we're going to have unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Remember, the Passover is not a gourmet dinner. It's not a big meal. It's just supposed to be unleavened bread, roasted lamb, and bitter herbs, period. But I know some people like to bring their embellishments, but no eggs, no shank bones, none of that stuff. I guess at this point in time, I guess we have, you know, that's what it's supposed to be only. It's supposed to be roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread, period. Three things. Not supposed to be nothing else. It says, you're supposed to not eat it raw, which I'd never do anyway, thank God, nor sodden it with water. But I love roasted lamb in the fire. His head with the legs and with the pertinence thereof. We only get as much lamb as we can eat. We don't get a whole lamb because we wouldn't be able to eat it all. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. If we did, we'd have to burn it with fire. Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. This is what they had to do, not us. They had to have their loins girded and their shoes on their feet and in the staff in the hand, and you shall eat it in haste. They had to eat it in haste. Of course, they were going to be pursued. Yeah, It's Jehovah's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Wow. Just think, the night we eat the Passover is the night when the destroyer comes and destroys everybody, and the firstborn in Egypt. And that's of man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt where I execute judgment, I am Yehovah. And the blood shall be unto you for a token. Amen. It sure is. I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. It's a sign. It's a token upon the houses when where you are. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Praise the Lord. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. There it is right there. It's a zicharon. You see that? It says, Hayah hayom hazeh lechem lezichoron. And you shall keep it a feast to Yehovah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Every time I read this, I always think of this one person, because it says so many places to eat the unleavened bread. And this one person said to me, he goes, do you have to really eat unleavened bread? And I said, he only says it about 20, 30 times or more. He says, the first day, we're going to put away all the chametz out of our house. Chametz. See that? The leaven, all the leaven is going to be put out of our house. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off, which means severed from the body, from Israel. In the first day, that's Ubayom HaRevi Rishon, there shall be a holy convocation, right? There it is right there. Seventh day, Shavi'i. Shvi'i, and it's a mikra kodesh, it's a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. So we can actually prepare our meals. Anything, that's what, only thing you could do on a Sabbath is prepare your meals, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Okay? Because that's all you need. It's supposed to be a day of rejoicing. I mean, you got to have the food to rejoice, right? And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. I will too. For in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. In the first month, he says it again, on the 14th day of the month at even, you're going to eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. So from the 14th day in the evening to the 21st day, I'm going to have unleavened bread. 7 days, there's going to be no leaven found in my house. That means no sin. I remember one time I was trying to get all the leaven out of my house. I was going frantic in my house, looking for all the leaven and the crumbs and all this kind of stuff. And then I stopped, and this feeling came over me. This thought was the real understanding of what I was really doing. I was really trying to learn how to get sin out of my life. And not just that day, but for every day. So as much as you get the leaven out of your houses and your diligence, that's how much you're supposed to try to get sin out of your life. Because that's what leaven is symbolic of. No leaven shall be found in your houses. For whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger, in other words, not an Israelite, or the Ezrach, the one born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations, shall you eat unleavened bread? How many times do you have to eat unleavened bread, everybody?
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to? Yes. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, symbolic of Yeshua, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and sprinkle the lentil and the two side posts, the mezuzot, with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Obviously, because the destroyer was going to be coming. For Jehovah will pass through and smite the Egyptians. That's who the destroyer is, in case you didn't know. And when he sees the blood, thank God for the blood of Yeshua on us. Isn't that, you should thank the Lord for that. When he sees the blood upon the lentil and on the two side posts, Jehovah shall pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Praise the Lord. That's why it's so important to have the blood of Yeshua applied to you. So God, in the end, will not smite you for eternity. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons and daughters forever. And it shall come to pass when you be come into the land which Jehovah will give you, according as he promised you, that ye shall keep this service. And, of course, I wish we had some children that would actually say this. When it should come to pass, when your children are saying to you, what do you mean by this service? What are you doing? Then you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Jehovah's Passover when he passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered your houses. And the people bowed their head, praise the Lord, and worshiped. Praise the Lord. And the children of Israel went away and did as Jehovah commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And guess what? It came to pass at midnight, and that doesn't mean 12 o'clock, okay? This is God's midnight, in the middle of the night. Jehovah smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Oh, boy. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of cattle. Picture the crying of the parents and everybody. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. Because everyone has a firstborn, right? Boy, that must have been unbelievable. You probably could hear picture everyone in your town. You hear everyone crying. You'd hear that sound throughout the whole land. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve Jehovah, as you have said. Pharaoh wants to get rid of them now. Also, take your flocks and your herds also, as you said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon them, those people, get them out of here, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we'd be all dead men and women. And the people took their dough, before it was leavened, that's good, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. Picture that. There's a lot of people there doing this. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they actually went and got. This word borrow doesn't mean like the way you do it today, but it means they went and were able to get favor with these people. They took of the Egyptians jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Jehovah gave the people favor. There it is right there. In the sight of the Egyptians. So that they lent them unto such things. That doesn't mean lent like you have to pay them back. as they required, and they basically they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth about 600,000. That's not counting the women and the kids, besides the children. 600,000 that were men besides the children and the wives. So there had to be well over a million there. Imagine that. Everybody with their kneading troughs and at the dough and just leaving in haste. And then also with them, there was a mixed multitude also went up, which is later turned out to be a catastrophe. And there it says also their flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Can't even imagine all the animals. And they baked, I don't know how they had time, but they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt. I bet they were, and could not tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning, they weren't in bondage, but the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. There's a difference between sojourning and being persecuted. Everybody should know that. And at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of Jehovah went out from the land of Egypt. And it is a night to be much observed unto Jehovah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. That's what this is all about. It's not a meal or some dinner dance. It's a holy thing. It's a night to be much observed unto Jehovah, bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of Jehovah to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. That's what the Passover is all about. Whew. The death angel passed over all the houses, which is God himself. And if you didn't have the blood applied to your doorposts and lintel, you were gone. And Jehovah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Zot chukat ha-pesach. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Okay? Kal ben nacher lo ochel bo. No stranger is supposed to come even near. But every man's servant that is brought with money, when you have circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. And that's what's really important. It says, Toshav ve sachia lo ochal bo. They're not supposed to even come near, you know. In one house shall be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. And all the congregation shall keep it. That's really important. Of course, later on there was a provision. If you were unclean, you can do it the next month. On the same day, however. And when a stranger, in other words, a person that's not of the 12 tribes, shall sojourn with thee, that means they're joining the Israel of God, a Gentile, which is no longer going to be a Gentile, and you're going to keep the Passover of Jehovah, let all the males be circumcised. Then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one born in the land. See, there's no difference. Once you join the Israel of God, you become one. That's why we're called one in Messiah. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. That's right. And I said this probably for years, and I battled even rabbis in Judaism. I said, Torah achat, there's one law, shall be to him that is homeborn, Yehiyeh le'ezrach, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you, vel lager hagar betochem. So anyone that joins, you become one. There's one law, Torah achat. Thus shall all the children of Israel, as Jehovah commanded. Thus did all the children of Israel, as Jehovah commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Jehovah did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So that's what we've got to remember during the Passover. It's not a gourmet dinner. It's not some dinner date. But it's a sacred holy night. And supposed to have only three things there. Anyway, the spring feasts of Jehovah are coming. Spring feasts were just a shadow of the first coming of Messiah, Yeshua. Of course, we do these in memorial. And all you people know, but some people never heard of this, that there's seven other holy days which are treated as Sabbaths. No work, no buying and selling. And it happens to be the sacred numbers of God, 1, 3, and 7. The first month, Ha'aviv, Nisan. Third month, Sivan, and the seventh month, Ha'etanim. That's good. And we're only concerned with, of course, we're only concerned right now with the first and third month, Sivan. And these are the ones during spring, okay? So you got to remember, there's three extra Sabbaths during these. You notice the first month has two extra Sabbaths, and the third month has the one extra Sabbath, because that's the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, right? And you guys all know about the Sabbath. I was going to go over it with the people that were coming today, but they're not here. Genesis 2 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, which is pretty amazing. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. All you have to remember is the Sabbath. You know, nowadays, of course it's the Sabbath, and it's the very important, I always use the words fourth commandment, because regular people could understand that out of the Ten Commandments. I say the Sabbath is the fourth commandment of the covenant given to us on Mount Sinai in the third month, Sivan. And I said, if you just go to Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And there's Zechor or Zichoron. And the way you remember it, you have to speak about it, you know? Make mention of it. Be mindful. And of course, being holy is being set apart to the God of Israel. That's really important. Holy isn't a halo or dressing or having some, you think, a holy dress. But holy is being consecrated, set apart to the God of Israel, which is really important. The seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah, your God. The seventh day. So when John said he was on the Spirit on the Lord's day, what day do you think that was? I believe it was the Sabbath. Because he says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on Jehovah's day. But going back to Exodus, it says, in it thou shalt not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, this means everyone, your aunt, your uncle, your children, your grandchildren, anybody, your animals, anyone within your gates. That's really important. They can go break the Sabbath anywhere else, but if within your gates where you're residing or being at that time. 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So it's really a special day if you really think about it. I mean, it really is more, I probably can't even put it into correct words, because God blessed it, hallowed it, sanctified it today. It's really a special day. It's actually a sign unto God's people. Of course, you guys know about Isaiah 58, that if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on God's holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, which I do, thank God, the holy of Jehovah, it's honorable, and you honor him today. How do you do that? By not doing your own ways. not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. That's right. But thou shalt delight thyself in Jehovah, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Who said that? The mouth of Jehovah spoke that. And Leviticus says the same exact thing. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, Shabbat Shabbaton, a holy convocation, a mikra kodesh. You should do no work. No work therein. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. And there's the word dwellings right there. Okay? Moshav. It means a seat, assembly, dwelling place. Dwelling. It says your situation, location at the time of dwelling. So even if you say, well, I don't live there permanently, wherever you go and you're dwelling at that time, that's your dwelling. Okay? The Sabbath is a holy convocation. There's the word mikra right there. It's a sacred assembly, public meeting, calling together. It's rehearsal, actually. We're rehearsing. Kodesh, there it is right there. Sacred place, dedicated to the God of Israel. Set apartness to the God of Israel. Holiness. If you want to know where you can't buy and sell comes from, it comes from Nehemiah chapter 13. I guess you could start on verse 15, but I started on 16 here. You're not supposed to buy. It says there was men of Tyre also therein, which they brought fish and all manner of ware. And these guys were actually selling on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah, because the children of Judah at this point were apostate. They have fallen away from God here. They were buying the stuff on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah in Jerusalem. They were doing this right in Jerusalem, like they do today in Jerusalem. Then Nehemiah, such a man of God, he contended with the nobles of Judah, and he said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? And of course, they didn't like that. However, he is a strong man of God. But always try to remember the feasts of God. They're shadows of things to come. You can go to this website right here and watch a video if you like. In the letter that Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians at Colossae in Asia Minor, Paul is cautioning the Colossians of evil men that would enter into the congregation and try to pervert their doctrine that was taught to them by Apostle Paul. You know? So he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, all the things I was just talking to you about. You know why? They're a shadow of things to come. That's future tense. He didn't say they were a shadow of things from the past. And the body, of course, it's all about Messiah, right? It's all about Messiah. So the word judge in the Greek is krino. Don't let anyone try to condemn it or separate you from it or pluck asunder or pick it out of you or form an opinion or contend with you about this, because it's a commandment of God. A holy day is a holy day, period. New moon is the new moon. You know what that is. It's the beginning of the month. Meat doesn't mean hamburgers. It means whatever you eat. It's got to be clean food. Sabbath days or Shabbaton, they're actually days that are not, they're different than the weekly days. You know that, right? A shadow, everyone knows what a shadow is, I hope. You know, see that right there? See my hand? That's a shadow. See the thing behind my hand? It's an outline. So anyway, in closing today, get ready for the spring and the feast of Jehovah. We have two feasts, Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks. So we have Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, which is also known as Feast of Harvest, which is real important. And of course, we all start with Jehovah's New Year, which makes everything really nice. Right there. There's the dates right there. You can write these down. I believe these are correct dates. Okay? I'm not going to read them to you, but you could write those down yourself. And what can I tell you? One last note. If you have your Gregorian calendar, look it up yourself. They have March 27th, and everyone around here is getting ready to do Easter, because we go to this Walmart and different places, and they have all the cheap chocolate Easter eggs and all the stupid things. And that's, everybody knows what Easter really is, right? It's supposed to be the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead on Sunday, first day of the week. But they have, the Gregorian calendar has on April 22nd, Yeshua is going to be dying, which is the Passover. So basically, they have Yeshua dying a month before he, they have Yeshua raising from the dead a month before he dies. So this is a good time to keep the calendar, if you have one. Oh well, what can I say? Well, maybe next week I'm going to go over a review of things that you're not supposed to do at a Passover Seder. So I'm trying to get everyone ready and properly equipped to talk to people. Wherever you're going to do your Passover, I want you to do it right. And I hope you could join us if you can. And what can I say? Shabbat Shalom. And I hope you enjoyed the study today. May God bless you and be with you. And may God protect you. And may God teach us more and more how to be and how to converse with people and how to always help people. That's what we're here about. That's what we're here for. We're here to help people. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. And I thank God for the Word of God. And may God be with you today and strengthen you stronger than you've ever been. And may we see our sister Louise shortly. We know she'll be back soon. And I thank God for every one of you today for being here. God bless you and Shabbat Shalom. One more time, I will stop the audio. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.